I would like to thank the organizers for invitation. The optical lattice has been, I think in recent years, has been a key topic of discussions in core atoms. It has been used for quantum, for designing quantum states, and recently there's a lot of effort to do quantum simulations. I think we're all amazed by Emmanuel's talk and that the kind of thing that he can do in both areas. In this talk, I will only talk about this part, the quantum simulation, in the sense that we would like to go into a state that is in equilibrium, that I can talk, we can talk about equilibrium statistical mechanics, and talk about ground states. And these are of great interest because it's believed that, core atom shows great promise that one can address some long-standing issues, and may even be realized some new states. Now, for this audience, there's no need to tell you what the promise are, and there's lots of efforts. I mean, in these directions, and there's even government efforts to support it. Now, I would like to talk about some necessary conditions for reaching, for doing the quantum simulations. And the key issue would be, in my opinion, is you have to get to low enough temperature to reach the quantum degeneracy in the lattice and beyond. Not only to reach the quantum degeneracy, because sometimes you need to get the strongly correlated regime, you still have some distance to go. And particularly, and then the temperature issue is particularly important for reaching the quantum phase transition and then studying the quantum critical properties. Now, the question that I want to address is the following: can we really get there? In the strongly correlated regime, and then what are the difficulties? And what is the current situation? And does the current methods really work? And how can we overcome some of the major difficulties if they exist? And how do we know if we get to these correlated states? And how do we know that we really, really reach these correlated states? The original difficulty is, as I mentioned before, is we have some very small temperature scale to some very fantastically small energy scales. And the challenge, in my opinion, is more than the just doing strongly correlated physics in core atoms, but is a new form of ultra-low temperature physics we have to reach, like Star Wars, reach places that we haven't reached before. This work is... I will be mostly talking about this work, which is submitted to CONMED, and is motivated. In fact, the reason we are doing this is motivated by a paper that we appear in PRL. I would not be able to talk about some of the issue in detail here. I would mention a little bit about the controversial aspects of it. I will organize my talk as follows. First, I would like to just say a few words about quantum versus thermal fluctuations, so that we know. So I just want to make it explicit what we are talking about, and then I would like to explain, just show you some numbers about the origin of difficulties, and then I will say a few words about the current situation. And I also would like to say then the most discussion is that why, if the system is hot, why is it so hot? And how do you get it cold, or even much colder? And then I would say a few words about fermions versus bosons. And then finally, I would like to mention some other ways to measuring super validity, which is hopefully will not suffer from some of the, what I consider some of the problems that we have now. I assume at this, I would like to apologize if there are people in the audience are not familiar with the Boson-Hubbard model. It will come back again, but I'm going to just say if you would use this as an example. This is the phase diagram, the Boson-Hubbard model, and this is interaction, and this is hopping. I do not use J. I mean, I use the condensed method version. The T is a hopping tunneling matrix element. When interaction is large, a system is going to a merge phase. And when interaction is small, when hopping is large, a system is a superfluid phase. And the phase diagram for a homogeneous system, not a trap now, would look something like this. And this is A. And the event starts at some time. Now, this, the question is that where do I start from a system? So, where should I start at the beginning of the experiment? And where do I end up? If the physical trajectory is something, look something like this, that I start with a very small interaction and I gradually increase it, and then if it's the physical trajectory that I always lie down with a very low temperature, such I'm just cutting across a little bit. So of course there's no experiment can be performed at zero temperature, but if I low enough, then I just cross this region very fast, then this is a very good description of quantum transition. Now, on the other hand, if I put up a little bit harder, it's still okay. If this is a region sufficiently small. Now, this would be a little bit problematic if I have a trajectory that goes up like this. Then it would be hard-pressed to argue that this would be a quantum phase transition. Now, however, this is not a bad thing, because if this region is a very interesting region for condensed matter. If I just keep going past here, and then I'm skipping through this region, this is then I'm just missing a lot of interesting physics. Now, this is the region where the system is a gap, that is a merge phase and has a gap, and the gap exists all over, but gradually the gap disappears on this side. In the condensed matter language, if I measure the specific heat here, I do see a sort of activated behavior. If I measure specific heat here, I do not see I get some power law behavior. So there is a real difference between this region and that region. Now, so recently, I think Esslinger and Tillman has a way of, a very ingenious way of measuring the single particle density matrix. Look at the as a function of distance. So that function, if I can perform that measurement here, I can see on one side, I have that signature of a gap decay very fast. On the other side, as I do experiment from here or there, there's a change in behavior. Now, the situation, however, is much more serious than this, but in the sense of harder, make it very hard to achieve quantum, to achieve zero temperature transition. The reason is that this appears in theory. In experiments, they don't do this. Experiments, I just turn up the lattice height. What happens is that this T drops down like a rock. I will later explain the relation between this U and T with the lattice height. This drops down like a rock. So if you do the experiment where this V naught is the optical lattice, the phase boundary looks something like this. This is much opened up a lot. So if I go down at very low temperature, this is the physical trajectory, still up here there's a region where one can go through the quote-unquote the quantum critical region. The system is normal. And so it's not immediately modish in the sense it has a gap. And if the physical trajectory is like this, then you go around it some more, and then that's so this would be very much thermal trajectory. Now, the question is, well, how cold can that get? So exactly how cold can you get? And then the answer is, it depends on what you do. Then depends on whether you're cooling bosons, you're cooling fermions, you're cooling spin of condensate, and so spin of atoms, and whether what laser that you use, and that's something that I'm going to explain. It looks like that, well, I like a zoo, but it turns out there is a coherence it's a simple elementary physics in the undergraduate physics that controls this cooling mechanism. Now, now go to the second part and talk about the origin of difficulties. Here is the optical lattice. Now, what we are talking about in all this strongly correlated state is that we are talking about the situation where the system is pressed all the way down the lowest band. The optical lattice is sufficiently high, so we're down here. And in this case, then, there are various energy scales, that there's the band gap, and there is a hopping scale, and there's the interaction scale, and there is a virtual hopping scale. Now, this may not be that important for bosons. but it's very important for fermions. It would still be important for bosons, for the example that Emmanuel talked about, he has double well, so there are two, to me, there are two different types of J now. There's a T-term hopping, atom hop inside the well, and there's a T-term hopping between the well. This T would be the hopping would be the hopping between the two double wells in that example. Now this scale, and then from here, then this is a typical boson hybrid model, which again I do not need to show this audience. Now here's a, now the nice thing about this is that this model, this is a cosine potential. One can calculate the band structure very accurately, and arbitrarily accurately. Then so one get the numbers are therefore quite trustworthy, provided we have confidence in the scattering length. There's all these numbers. I'm not going I just want to focus some these two red box. The lattice potential, the height, this V naught, is usually in the field, it's measured in units of so-called recoil energy. And so this is the unit of recoil energy. At 10, 15, these are the different recoil energy, and this is the hopping in nano Kelvin, 10 to the minus 9 degrees. And this is not too bad. But when I go to 30 recoil, it's very low temperature already. And if I look at T squared by U, it's a fantastically low temperature. We're talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 10 to the minus 14 and 14 degree. Then there's not much difference between lithium and rubidium. They're more or less the same. Well, there's a difference by a factor of 5. Now, the low, if I checked on Google yesterday to see the lowest laboratory temperature in solid state physics, and is by, and both of them have achieved at Helsinki at Otaniemi, and using a diabetic demilitarization. At the moment, the solid state experiment can at most achieve to 0.25 nanoK. I think Wolfgang reported some years ago, in his laboratory, he actually reached, I think, 0.1 nanoK. Now, I would like to, again, use a different, explain the difficulty in a slightly different way. And again, it's a simple way that it's a question about what do I mean by quantum degeneracy? What's the difference between quantum degeneracy in a lattice versus in open space? In open space, then I just look at the overlap of the Bohr wavelength in the particle distance. But in a lattice, the band gap is very narrow, and then the particle movement is very sluggish, and then so the effective mass is very large. It could be 10 times, 100 times, or even 1,000 times larger than the original mass. So originally, your wave packet is like this, but suddenly in a lattice, when you press down on the lowest band, the whole thing just narrow up like this. That therefore used to be overlapping, and now you are very separated apart. Therefore, you are no longer in quantum degeneracy. Now, here are the numbers. In free space, the transition temperature without lattice is 10 to the minus 6K, and then I think this 10 to the minus 9 degrees, the lowest temperature achievable in the open trap. This would be the degeneracy, quantum degeneracy, barely to lattice around 10, 15 recoils. Now, well, what are the current situations? The current situation is that I think for the case of boson, the superfluid insulator transition is often described as a quantum phase transition in literature. I think that's just general characterization. And there is the current method of detection is by the sharpness of the diffraction peak, and also about using the visibility. And then the current method is that lately there are some changes, but at the time then we are doing our research, that all the experiment that we see is start with a harmonic trap and then just raise a ratchet tuned lattice. And the belief is the following, that the system will just self-cool itself. You don't need to do much. Because why? Because there's only the entropy itself is only a ratio between temperature and hopping. And so this line drops down like a rock. And in the adiabatic process, the temperature also drops down like a rock. So you don't have to worry that the fact that you are at very low temperature, then this is not really a problem. Now, we after our study, we reached the following conclusion, that is the observed could be, I think it's normal, it's a thermal transition, and the sharpness of diffraction pattern need not be a evidence of super validity, and the visibility does not mirror necessarily the condensate fraction. And now I should warn you that this is controversial, and then Emmanuel and I are engaging debate, and I think it's very good. Because, no, please, seriously, Emmanuel is very careful. The reason that we have been referring to his work is an expression of respect, because we can only find any if we want to find any detail, we can only find from his work. And that is why we make reference to the number of his works. As it's not an attack. I would say something about this, but because it needs too much time to discuss this. But I would like to also mention that if I continue to raise the red to twin lattice adiabatically as we do currently, and in my opinion, we'll never get to the correlated state. And the reason of this problem with this argument is that there is not the only energy scale in the system. There's also a U scale. The situation is identical to the case of adiabatic demagnetization in paramagnets, that i.e. the method that I have just shown you that reaches the lowest temperature in solid state physics, there the spin is, if I take a spin in a field, the Hamiltonian is just Z minus energy, and then therefore entropy is H divided by T. If I start with a high field, I change H to zero, T would go down zero, exactly the same answer. But there's no free lunch because there's interaction. So every time you try to sweep down a field, at some point you get stuck. And that stuck is because the interaction, that interaction between the spins, exactly the situation here. Now, you say, maybe I don't need to worry about it until very large U. But look, the fact that we have a mod transition, that means that before we go into deep inside the mod, the interaction effects already important, otherwise I wouldn't have the mod transition. So therefore, the fact that the impaction effect is not only important in the mod phase, but already important prior to the mod phase that suppressed considerably the throughput phase. This is the famous, very beautiful experiment by Emmanuel and his group, and then this is the current experiments, and this is a Wolfgang's experiment, and this is a Tillman and Krauss experiment, and the reason that we get into this investigation entirely because of these two experiments. We don't understand anything that was claimed. That was and about Poiron effects and localization effects, and then we get disagreement with all the calculations with them. So that's why we could begin to study in detail the visibility. Now the visibility for those again, there's a difference of the definition of visibility in 3, 2, and 1 dimensions. In 3 dimensions, you get a 3 dimensional diffraction pattern, and it's defined as follows: you take these 2 points, and then you take the ratio and sum. And if this spot is bright and this is weak, and then you get this one. And now we found the following. I can only state the result, but the reason I state the result is for it just to explain, especially to Emmanuel, what causes us, so what makes us so disturbed. The reason is that we take the wedding cake structure and calculate the T equals zero visibility, and then compare with now. Okay, you say, if you disagree with the experiments, doesn't mean that you're right. Why wouldn't you be right? But one could recover the experimental data by doing the following thing, which is that this is all in a trap now. That if I see a superfluid, if I usually I have a wedding cake structure, And then Wellington structure, they are superfluid, mod, superfluid. But if I take away all the superfluid phase, even they are there, then one can get a matching. Now you say, well, could this be all mod? Let's take a little bit here. The second mod shell develops. Now, remember that here's a wedding cake structure. When I develop shells, there are still a bunch of superfluid regions. So up to here, beyond it, there's still quite a bit of superfluid region. I mean, we can discuss it in detail. I just want to say that because even though there's superfluid, chunk of superfluid here, if I remove a little superfluid, one can get a matching of experiments. So the only reason that we can think of that maybe the system is hot enough so that even a puddle, a superfluid region, that should be there, T equals zero, are gone. So now the question that how do we understand why it is hot? And that leads to our discussion. And this is a piece of physics which is, it looks in detail. I don't think all the experimentalists know about it. I don't know whether all the theories know about it. But then is that this the way that the experiments are done? And then I start with a harmonic trap and then turn up the lattice. Now, when I turn up the lattice, then it turns out the laser itself has a Gaussian beam profile, and this, therefore, by just turning up the lattice, I also increase the harmonic profile. In fact, even at 12 recoil, then this term, this compression term is already much bigger than it could be bigger than the original harmonic trap. Now, the scheme of studying the temperature change is the following. I take the initial temperature. Suppose I can figure out what this is initially, at initial state, no trap, just harmonic trap. I figure out what this is, and then this is the final, suppose I wait to figure out the final entropy, then I just equate them. Now, the initial entropy turns out has been worked out by Shingari and Piatewski and Giorgini, and it's a very beautiful calculation. There are quite a bit of physics in it, which I don't have time to talk about, but this is about the power of 5/2. Now, if I look at the later, after I turn up and form a wedding cake structure, now, the question is that what is the entropy? Now, the wedding cake structure, the way to understand this is the following. Let us first consider the situation where the temperature is is below interaction but larger than hopping. Now, in that case, then one you can do perturbation theory and then work out the density profile. You can work out this step structure. And I think Emmanuel has actually performed a very beautiful experiment just measuring the density profile in situ. Now, then the question is that, well, if I have dense profile, how am I going to calculate entropy? The entropy turns out to be the following. Remember that here's the mod phase is a gap. Therefore, the entropy density is very low. All the entropies are all here, all concentrated at the steps. Now, what are those entropies? At this point, this guy can, usually the chemical potential, can hop back and forth equally properly. And therefore, the entropy at sufficient high temperature is precisely log 2. So, I mean, one can perform a more detailed discussion analysis, but roughly speaking, at sufficient high temperature, but less than U, this is log 2. And then now, what is this width? Now you can estimate the width from Thomas Fermi, i.e., that the change of this chemical potential. Oops, sorry. I'm just confused. Okay. Now look at there's chemical potential change, but then if I look at the change of chemical potentials, and then I can figure out what the width is. It's T, I mean, just by eyeballing this, I have to relate it to temperature, and then it's T divided because it's controlled by this Fermi-like factor. And then it's T divided frequency. Therefore, you put all this together, and then you get a ratio like this. This is the source of problem. It's a serious problem, but it is also the way out to find a better solution. Remember that the frequency is the original frequency plus a compression. So therefore, when I turn up the lattice, then the turn up lattice eventually becomes T divided by V naught. Then the larger the V naught, I go up linearly. So the temperature on the other side will go up linearly eventually. There's no choice. Now, then the question that there's this factor also. Maybe there's some temperature dependent, but one can show temperature dependent or this factor is weak and it's more or less given by a t equals zero value. So this is the dominant factor. Now, the question is that but now one knows that the reason there's a problem because this keeps increasing. So the way is to solve the problem to make this small. Now, how small can you make it? Now, you can make it small by, for example, adding a basically try any way to relax the frequency. You can pull a full detune laser. I think the most natural way seems to be to use a blue detune laser and then change the sign here. So if I start up with a very tight trap and then gradually relax it, then I can actually get it colder. so then omega becomes small. Now here is some trajectories. So here is the one that the string in the empty trap that work out by Stringeri and Lev and Giugini, and so this is the initial entropy, and this would be for entropy for different recoil. It should be the formula I show you, some approximation. It's linear, but you take into account of all the temperature effects. There's some curvature down here, and this is for these two curves are for the red detune laser for different recoil energy. If I start at this temperature, already 15 nanokelvin, then adiabatic process would go like this. Now this would cool it. But it would happen that if I have go to 13 recoil, then I would be increasing my temperature. On the other hand, if I use a blue detune laser, then I can get up to, then this line is getting more and more vertical, and I can get a considerable relaxation, reduction in temperature. Now, at the current experiment, I believe, need to look up the numbers, the starting temperature is not 15, it's somewhere down up here. Then with this curve, it can send you back out from to very far away at higher temperature. What are the difference between bosons and fermions? The fermion, is much luckier. The fermion should be easier. The fermion is blessed by the so-called Pomeranchak cooling. It's well known that the Fermi liquid has less entropy than the solid. The reason is that the solid at every spin is free. Suppose I have a tight temperature above the transition ordering temperature, it's free. So it's, the entropy density of a solid is very high. And the entropy density, and eventually it will drop down like a rock at this scale. I'm just talking about a mod phase now. I don't know, all that are crystals. Not the conducting region, but they're in the mod region, and has come down like a rock. But now this for fermion in a trap is the temperature is linear. So this looks like that you can always come down at very low temperatures. In fact, this was first pointed out by Anton George. I should have gotten his reference, and I apologize to his group if they are here. And then later on, recently, I think about a month ago, that André Tremblay in Canada have done all these are numerical calculations from quantum Monte Carlos. There's good news and there's bad news. The good news is that for three dimension, it is if you start at about, I don't know, reasonable temperature, maybe 10 nanokelvin or so. You can still hit the nail face, but for two dimension, however, according to André's estimate, that one can still one has problems reaching. Let's see, I have to hurry. So finally, just to conclude. I believe that there could be other ways to determine whether there's super fluidity without resorting to fraction measurement. Please give me two more minutes. Some years ago, Wolfgang have done a beautiful experiment and making use of Barry's phase effects to make vortices. And basically the idea is the following, and it's actually for people who study helium-3, and this is a very natural thing to do because of this texture. That's how the monomial hole vortex is constructed. I have a two fields. So one start with a uniform field, but then I also add a quadrupolar field, time dependent, in such a way. So then I switch this off. So the field construction, field structure is that look, there's a field profile, look something coming up, down, up like this, down like that, etc. But then eventually, after t from 0 to 1, I go from up to down, a uniform. So this quadrupolar field just switch on and off. Now, in that case, then the spin would, because of adiabatic process, and well, I'm not going to draw it, but then it will flip. Now, when it flips, then you will gain two units of circulations. Now, however, think about, I mean, it's, I don't know whether Debbie is still here. If I take the potassium 40, and which is made up of its two fermions, 7.5, 9.5, and it's spin 8. When I flip it in this process, I generate 8 units of circulation. No, so actually 16 units of circulation, two times S. So there's a lot of circulations. And then, so I don't need to rotate it in order to generate circulations. And then the physics is the following. This is very familiar for spin and a half. If I perform a rotation in this form, then I go from here to there. I generate vortex. For spin 8, then I would have to generate, then I go from this configuration, that configuration, vortex. Now, but Debbie would say that, look, but when you change this field back and forth, if I'm not in a lattice now, you may say that, well, I'm away from flashback resonance, then I would be destroying my condensate. Not quite so. If I look at the field structure, look at the, for this particular field configuration, there's a, you look at the magnitude of field, it looks like this. This is a position. There's a region. Inside, the field is bigger than the resonance. Suppose B naught is resonance as the resonance value. Outside is off resonance. So when you change this, when you do this process, then in the process inside here, then the you're sweeping within this distance, which is characterized by the field gradient, that within this region, there's all in on BEC side, so your face is well protected. Outside, you may destroy the condensate. So I think in Wolfgang's experiment, you lose maybe 50%, but here you may suppose you lose even some more, but you don't care. Because all you want to know it would be that whether the state that you're dealing with has phase coherence or not, and then you don't care the final state, how many atoms that you have. And I believe that this would work for the alkali bosons in lattice. And, excuse me. Lithium-6, I should cross this out. Lithium-6, unfortunately, is bad because up and down pairs, and then those add up to zero. So it doesn't work well for lithium. Maybe it should work for potassium and all the rubidium. I think I should, thank you very much for letting me talk.
Okay, now questions.
So let me make some comments, Jason. I agree with many of the points that you say. I disagree with other points that you said. And it is clear. I think I would not search for super exchange interactions at 30 recall deep lattices because the tunneling matrix element is just so low. I agree. Also, I think we know that from experiments and also from the quantum Monte Carlo calculations, from your calculations, from work of Fabrice Chabier, that the temperatures, if even if one goes adiabatically, probably are lying in a range in the bosonic cases. T is much smaller than U, probably is around 100. The best we can say right now experimentally is one-tenth, less than one-tenth. That is experimentally determined. So, and but still larger than small t than the Hopping experiment that you said. I probably agree also with the statement that the superfluid shells are not superfluid, so they are probably normal, which is actually maybe not such a bad thing because it means all the entropy is actually sitting in the shells and might give rise to possibility that you have effectively an inner core which is actually quite pure because all the defects in the core cost you energy, so all the defects have to go into this superfluid region, which then turns normal, where the energy costs are very low to make entropy, so to say, which is, I think, maybe actually not a bad thing for the experiments. It might be actually a good thing. Also, if you want to cool this, you have some access because spatially that your entropy is sitting at a different region. But I think one important point I want to make, I think that basically a lot of your conclusions are derived from the fact that you, when you analyze the visibility, you basically take assume, and that's what one gets theoretically, that one gets basically delta peak type interference patterns for very small context. So one thing that struck me was when you calculated in your paper that for when I plugged in some numbers that for a 4% condensate fraction you calculated you should see a 99% visibility, and concluded in the paper that if you, because experiments do not see this, the experiments have to be thermal. And you know, then when I hear 99% for 4% condensate fraction as an experimentalist, I raise my eyebrow and ask, start to think, I mean, what is going on? And then, of course, I mean, one important piece you're missing is that finite resolution in the experiment, that in all experiments, we never can kind of measure delta peak functions, and we outline several reasons why actually there are intrinsic broadening mechanisms, but of course there are also broadening mechanisms related to detection. So I think already when you would do your reanalysis, your calculation with the weight and not the amplitude of these peaks, you would find much better agreement with the experiment. Although I agree with what I said with this, but then I think the final point I want to make is that one important point one needs to really also take into account is the harmonic confinement, as you pointed out, which is very important, but also take it into account when one calculates the visibility. So what we found in our calculation, we included the visibility, is that when you cannot have visibilities much larger than 10% to 15% for the present experimental parameters that a lot of people are using, including our group. And if you see something much larger, around 80%, which is quite typical for what we observe, 80-90%, this cannot come from a thermal fraction. So I think a lot of the confusion is basically by not taking into account finite resolution. I agree with many of the statements in the Mott state that you made. I think the second paper is much better than the first one. And I think the arguments you pointed out in the finite temperature with the entropy sitting, I would agree with that.
Thank you very much. Can I respond? Let's first respond talk about something which we would not disagree. But I think there's a even though the entropy are concentrated on the Mott layer, but I think the problem is that the temperature is the same. So I do get a pure region, but I don't think the temperature. Now certainly in the bosons, not much difference. But if I in the fermions, is in fermion two types of Mott stuff. One is just a band insulators, and interesting. The other one is a single particle. Then the question is, what is a spin ordering temperature there? That spin ordering temperature will be correlated to what's happening on the surface, and it's so they're all tied together. That's one thing. So the other is that I agree with you that there are a number of things that we need to continue to discuss. I, however, want to just say, repeat I think there are two very important physics issues, which is that, apart from the, is that whether it is possible in a normal state, if our system in a normal state has diffraction pattern. One. Secondly, is that whether really what is the exact correlation between visibility and the condense and the condensate fraction. The calculation that we do in our section D in the last not as good paper is entirely to do that calculation to show there is that there, even at T equals zero, everything is perfect, there isn't that much correlation. I think that is the depth of our confusion.
That is really an artifact of the model of the homogeneous box system that you used. So I mean that you have in the homogeneous box that you basically have very large visibilities, just a reason because in the box potential the TC is much lower than if you include a harmonic confinement. And if we just do the same calculation like you do, just doing basically including the harmonic confinement, we find that you cannot get a visibility larger than 10% to 15% for the atom numbers that one uses in the regime, whereas you find you can get, I mean, I'm not saying, of course, a very cold thermal sample can have very long range large coherence and can give rise to large coherent in principle. If you have cold enough thermal, then your de Broglie, your coherence length can be very large and you can have a strong visibility. I don't disagree with that. And I think what you see in the box potential is that when the temp, because TC is much lower, then already at TC you get a visibility for the thermal gas of 70%, 80%. And that's, I think, what made you stumble, that then you might think, okay, that's what the people are seeing. But I mean, if you do the same calculation like you did, but just include the harmonic confinement, what we did, you find that the thermal, because TC is much higher in that case, you actually find that the visibility is actually much lower. It's not 70-80%, it's just below 10%.
We have a disagreement in calculations for the normal phase, actually. So I think we need to discuss. for the normal brain.
Yeah, okay, and perhaps this is a good time to go to the next question.
Yeah, Jason, I think Emmanuel already mentioned a couple of important points. I also have a comment. I fully agree with Emmanuel that it's very important how you analyze your interference patterns. We recently learned it's very important whether you take the amplitude or whether you take the integral over the interference peaks or the weighted integral. So you get completely different transition points. So therefore, one really has to take account due to this limited resolution. But also, I think there is
more. You usually take three how many pixels that you take for
yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, exactly. So there is some difficulty in. So you have to take to make fits to these small signals, or you have to integrate over several ones, you know, to get a better signal to noise and then to analyze. So this definitely gives you a difference in your signal of your coherence signal. Okay, this is one aspect. The other thing is we also analyze this, and as many other groups, you know, there are several papers on this, whether you get cooling or heating when ramping up the lattice. And we also in Hamburg, together with a colleague from condensed matter, Daniela Pfannkuchen, performed exact diagonalization of the harmonic potential plus an adiabatically switched on lattice potential. And if you
with
then...
With the interactions?
Sorry?
With the interactions?
Yes, with the interactions for a limited number of particles. And then if you look to the density of states, you end up indeed that you, depending on your initial temperature, you either get cooling or heating. So if you start with a very small temperature, you definitely get cooling. And our numbers are by a factor of at least two better than your numbers.
Really?
So we can start with something like 30 nanokelvins or so.
But you do take into account of the adiabatic compression of the overall trap, and then the it's not just V. You see, one should not just do the calculation of the U and T. I think that's very. One had to do the calculation with the lattice, so that the lattice. You said lattice affects everything. Affects U, affects T,
but
and everything.
Basically, the argument of entropy and analyzing the density of states in the combined potential of harmonic potential plus lattice.
We should compare. No.
And then also we did it for the fermions. And to do it for the mixture, you know, I think you mentioned something on our mixture experiment. I did not get your point exactly, but for the mixture, it's very tricky, this calculation, so it's not yet done.
How many atoms have you done for?
Well, up to 20.
Okay.
This is small, but, you know, and also you can just do an analysis without interaction, which basically gives you the same results. And there's a small difference on this transition point from where on you get cooling or heating on your initial temperature, but definitely there's a broad range of temperature, initial temperature, where you do get cooling. So we are now pretty sure that we do not get additional heating when we ramp up the lattice for our mixture experiment.
That's one final question.
Jason, going back to the visibility experiments, you said that to reproduce the experimental results, you need to ignore the superfluid shells completely. But we did quantum Monte Carlo simulations, including, as Emmanuel pointed out, the harmonic potential. And we find that you do not need to, we can reproduce the experimental results perfectly, including the kink that they observe. So how do you reconcile that?
Are you one of the authors? I'm sorry. Are you one of the authors in other paper? Are you one of the authors of the paper or different?
Yes.
We need to discuss about the tunneling matrix element that you use because we need to discuss because we mentioned a little bit in the paper but we did not go into it because there.
We use it as a constant and we use U as a tuning parameter. Because our U over T is a tuning parameter there.
From our study, we found some inconsistencies. So that's why we have a difference in the Redding cake structure. That's what you're saying.
Okay, we can discuss.
Okay, so short question from Eugene.
I'm not sure you really go to such a bad mode state. So think about the number of Poisson particles. When you move inside the mode state with an open gap, you are not changing the number of Poisson particles. So if just by the fact, so you agree that you continue cooling as long as you are staying in the superfluid state, and then in the quantum crystal problem is less. But then when you go into the more state, let's not talk about term case meaningless. Let's just talk about the number of quasi particles. And for adiabaticity, their number may not change. Therefore, I don't believe that you can end up with a state if you have a large number of quasi particles and embed more state.
You cannot talk about the number of quasi particles. You have to talk about temperature. If temperature is what one talks, the density of state without lattice is very different from the density of state in the mod phase. One is a spectrum like this, the other one is a spectrum like that. I mean, it's not. I mean, it's a.
No, but it's all hidden in some of the names. Just think about this. Adiabatic means you start with a certain quasi particle, you stay with that quasi particle. Then none is
no, it's no. The whole point. The whole point is that it's interacting.
Inside the mod phase, it's all defined.
Oh, but the question: what is the number of quasi particles before you enter the real mod regime?
Precisely, but that's the point. That's the point. You're still cooling. So your concern was when you're entering the mod phase. That's when you draw the temperature going up. But at that point, you're no longer changing the number of quasi particles.
In the mod phase, I mean.
Inside the mod phase. That's why you cannot actually destroy the mod phase. You cannot generate a large density.
Because of the large gap. You don't need to change that much temperature to change the population or the excitation. The temperature is really controlled by the conducting. You see, to the extent we agree that it's adiabatic, to the extent the temperature, then the temperature on the conducting layer must be the same as the temperature in the mod phase. So therefore, compression is changing the temperature. In utilize compression to change the temperature in the conducting layer, therefore it changes the temperature in the mod phase.
Yeah, I think we should stop the discussion and thank our speaker again.
Sorry about it.
Thank you for being here.